The word of God given to us today is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 17 to 25. It is on page 46 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Allow me to read the words of God. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." I returned after taking a sabbatical leave from the last week of February to the third week of June. Thanks to the blessed time that you have granted to me, I spent some time for a personal retreat and spent the remainder of the time with my mother of old age. During the sabbatical leave of Pastor Jung Hanjo, which began from July 1st, I will take turns with Pastor Kim Kwang-uk and Kim Young-jun to deliver Sunday sermons. Thanksgiving weekend in the U.S., the Obon week in Japan, and the Chinese Mid-Autumn Festival are holidays similar to our Thanksgiving. There are a few things that come to mind when we think about holidays. The trip back home, long time no see, catching up with loved ones, and delicious food. During our Thanksgiving, we eat rice cakes, while there is turkey for American Thanksgiving, dango for Japanese Obon Week, and mooncakes for Chinese Mid-Autumn Festival. Similar to how each country has different holiday culture and customs, the Bible also introduces a number of festivals such as Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Among these festivals, Passover is the period that commemorates Exodus, the most important event of the history of Israel. On the day that the oldest born of each household in Egypt was killed, the same day that heard the unprecedented cries throughout Egypt, no death occurred in the homes of Jews that marked their doorposts with the blood of the lamb. The word Passover literally means to overlook. On the day of God's judgment in Egypt, the angel of death skipped homes of Jews that were marked with blood. After living as slaves in Egypt for 400 years, Jews witnessed disasters that wreaked havoc on the land of Egypt, that had taken away their ethnic identity. As the agonizing sound over death, the last disaster, resounded throughout the land, they formed their identity as an ethnic group and country, living in the wilderness after Exodus for 40 years. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11 explains such situation during Exodus as the following. "This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." During the first Passover, Jews had to put a belt around their waist, keep their sandals on their feet, and hold onto their staff while quickly eating the lamb, herbs, and the bread made without yeast. They didn't know when the order to leave would be given, so they were under pressure as if they were soldiers on standby. The phrase "in haste" comes from the word hippa, which means to escape. According to the command of God, Jews had to be well prepared and act quickly. The main menu that commemorates Passover nowadays includes the bread made without yeast, lamb, herbs, sauce, eggs, and wine. The bread made without yeast signifies the emergency situation that called for baking bread without spending time for it to be fermented using yeast. The lamb signifies the blood marked on the doorpost, which allowed the angel of death to pass. Herbs demonstrate the bitter days of slavery. The color of the sweet sauce, which was made with figs, dates, raisins, and nuts, was similar to that of clay. This meal signifies how they made bricks using clay as slaves. Eggs indicate that even though their lives were a series of pain and difficulties, how each difficulty has strengthened them. Lastly, wine signifies the joy from how they escaped the slavery in Egypt and were now free and independent. As Jews prepared the food for Passover, they remembered how their ancestors experienced difficult and upsetting situations, and also allowed the next generation to remember what had happened, despite the long time that had passed. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is mentioned in verse 17, is the festival that occurs on the 15th of the month of Nisan, which is April in the current calendar. God told that the month of Exodus to be treated as the new month of the year. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread is the day that commemorates the suffering that Jews experienced after Exodus until they passed the Red Sea. To remember that they ate bread without yeast after days of slavery ended and continued Exodus, Jews call it the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Unlike festivals of other countries, every holiday of Jews was declared by God. Passover, also announced by God, is when God redeemed Jews that were living arduously as slaves in Egypt. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verses 6 to 11, testifies the reason why God saved Israel and declared them as the chosen people. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set this affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandment. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today." The reason why God saved Israelites was not because they were stronger than other peoples or because they were the largest in number. He says that they were chosen even though they were the smallest of all peoples, and he chose them because of the oath he had made with their ancestors. God, who led Israelites out of the iron furnace of Egypt, commanded that the Israelites obey the voice of God and follow all of God's commands, decrees, and laws. Then they will be the people of God, and God will be the God of Israel. Moses reiterated the importance of keeping Passover when the Israelites arrive at Canaan. However, the Bible does not mention whether the Israelites observed Passover consistently. As mentioned in the book of Joshua in chapter 5, when Joshua and the Israelites enter Canaan, they kept Passover in Jericho. Then there's another record that they kept Passover during King Hezekiah's rule and King Josiah's. King Hezekiah of the southern kingdom of Judah ensured that even the refugees of northern kingdom of Israel, after they had lost to the southern kingdom of Judah, participate in the Passover, which commemorates the history of Exodus that gave birth to the entire Israelite people. Such observance led to the revival of the broken rule of King David's dynasty. King Josiah, who was the last spark of the revival of Judah, also kept Passover even in the furthest north in the land of Naphtali, taking advantage of the decline in the Assyrian rule. Other kings that ruled the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel did not follow the commands of God. God endlessly told prophets that to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. However, Israel failed to remember annual holidays, word of God, and chose the path of sin. As a result, Israelites lost their country to powerful neighboring countries and became prisoners of war. Since they lost their nation, Israel became farther away from holidays declared by God. After Israelites returned from the Babylonian captivity, they observed Passover, which they could not keep during the tough days of slavery. The record of how Jews had returned from the Babylonian captivity started to keep Passover under the guidance of priests and Levites appears in the book of Ezra, chapter 6. Let's take a look at Ezra, chapter 6, verses 19 to 22. On the 14th day of the first month, the exiles celebrated the Passover. The priests and the Levites had purified themselves and were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles, for their relatives, the priests, and for themselves. So the Israelites who had returned from the exile ate it, together with all who had separated themselves from the unclean practices of their Gentile neighbors, in order to seek the Lord, the God of Israel. For 7 days they celebrated with joy the festival of unleavened bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria, so that he assisted them in the work on the house of God, the God of Israel. The joy that our ancestors must have felt when they could speak in Korean and use their Korean name after being forbidden to use the Korean language during the Japanese occupation would have been similar to that of the Israelites that had returned from captivity. After their return, Israelites finally began to keep Passover and continued to do so during the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Passover had a special meaning to the Israelites that returned from captivity. So even during the time of Jesus, Israelites recollected the urgent circumstances of Exodus as they observed Passover. So under the reign of the Roman Empire, they eagerly waited for the Messiah that will save and free them from the persecution. However, high priests and religious leaders failed to recognize Jesus Christ, who declared salvation and freedom, because the comfort from compromising with the Roman Empire, Roman rule, concealed their eyes. High priests and religious leaders that pretended to live holy did not remember the essence of Passover. Consequently, instead of spending time to prepare for Passover, they were obsessed over killing Jesus Christ. To the high priests and religious leaders, Passover merely became the time they heard Jesus say, "Woe to you," to rebuke their state of mind. Merely concerned about keeping their status, their Passover became holidays that could not be restored. However, Jesus set for a Passover meal with the 12 disciples when the time was ripe. Let's look at verse 20. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. According to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus sent Peter and John to prepare for the Passover. The Passover lamb was prepared at the temple for the sacrificial rite during the evening, so that it could be prepared before having the incense or placing the golden candle holders. Each person took their own Passover lamb, so Peter and John also prepared the lamb among other worshippers. And priests that were lined up in two rows at the altar of the temple helped with the slaughter of the lamb. The final step, the blood of the sacrificed lamb, was poured on the altar by the priests on duty. Peter and John hurriedly took the lamb to where Jesus and other disciples were. According to the customs of Passover, the feast begins when the sun sets, so Jesus sat with the 12 disciples at the table. What was at the heart of Judas the Iscariot as he sat at the table of the Passover meal? He was physically with Jesus at the table, but his mind was filled with the thoughts of Satan. As he heard the scary message of judgment from Jesus, "But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man, it would be better for him if he had not been born," Judas should have been in fear and repent, but he chose to be nonchalant. When Jesus said that one of you will betray me, he rather replied, "Surely you don't mean me." When Jesus answered, "You have said so," he had another chance to change. But he did not turn away from the path he had taken. Instead, he discarded the love of Jesus Christ that loved him until the end. The Passover of Judah, who was quick to calculate and was full of desires, ended like so. Then how was the Passover for the other 11 disciples that were at the table with Jesus? Jesus dearly wanted to eat with the disciples before he would suffer. In contrast to how much Jesus wanted to eat with them, other 11 disciples were not so different from Judas. They're still concerned about where they would sit, falling short of what they could be. At that moment, it is as if the discipleship of Jesus had failed. However, disciples other than Judas realized Jesus' request that the gospel be delivered to the end of the earth shook their hearts. After they felt their hearts move according to Jesus, they took on Jesus' command as their calling. The Passover of the disciples was meek in the beginning, but at the end, they became mission-driven people who fulfilled the plan of our Father God, who wants to save the entire humanity by the disciples testifying the gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus, who sat at the Passover meal with the 12 disciples, completed Passover by becoming the Lamb. Jesus Christ became the sacrifice only once, but the Passover meal resumes in all hearts that repent even to this day. Before Passover, the status of Israelites was that they were slaves. However, after Passover, Israelites were trained to become to be the chosen people of God. If that is so, how has Passover of our church members who have been invited by Jesus Christ? That can be checked by the fruit of our lives. We can check whether we are reaping the fruit of the Holy Spirit or living a life far away from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For believers that pay attention to the outward appearance, similar to the high priests and religious leaders, or those that have chosen the path of desires and betrayal, like Judas, even if they remember Passover throughout their lives, they will resort to living a foolish life that failed to bridge the gap between faith and life. However, even during COVID-19 pandemic, if you struggle to keep the place of worship wherever you are, even if you couldn't physically be at church, then you're demonstrating how you have not forgotten the moment of Passover, during which you were saved from eternal death. Furthermore, it testifies that you are not lazy to walk the path of the disciple of the Lord. A Christian that has not kept the place of worship in the spirit and truth cannot be a proper disciple. Next Sunday is the 16th anniversary of the establishment of our church. Our church was founded by the Foundation for the 100th Anniversary of the Korean Church to continue the faith of 100 years of Korean Christianity and serve as the guiding post of the second century of Korean Christianity. The mission of our church is to take care and manage Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery to remember the sacrifice of missionaries who took a step on the land of Joseon to share the grace of the gospel, and the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Hall to recognize the martyrs who offered their lives for the grace of forgiveness to overflow on this land. Since the establishment of the church, members have come from all over the place, and 16 years have passed. Thanks to the devotion of our church members in the past 16 years, Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery now has been transformed into a missionary cemetery. Also, the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Hall has been under construction, and the exhibition at the hall has been changed since 2018 for renewal. During the last 16 years, the founding pastor served his calling well and retired in 2018. Then the four full-time pastors have taken up his post as co-pastors for the last 3 years. Just as the Israelites keep their holidays and what God has done to the next generation, we co-pastors are avidly asking for the help of the Lord so that we can pass on the calling of our church to the next generation well. We ask that the church members also pray for us to deliver our calling as the guiding posts of the second century of Korean Christianity. Not only are the global issues generated from climate change, food shortages, smart devices, and overuse of the internet in the 21st century, but all sorts of problems in our families, societies, and workplaces are all troubling our hearts. the spread of the COVID-19 virus in 2019 resulted in a pandemic by March 2020. Due to the pandemic, not only was the international travel banned, but even local travel had been forbidden in different places. Unforeseen events also occurred at home, work, schools, and church. Instead of going to work, some people worked from home. Children were unable to go to school and learned using the internet. Social distancing and masks became a routine, and personal meetups are restricted by a certain number. Not only were work and school affected, but even Sunday worship became difficult. So now we're living at a time where people worship at home or in a personal space. According to the survey conducted by the Pastoral Data Research Institute regarding COVID-19 from Christian respondents, some answered that it was positive to worship as a family at home through the online service. But it is an undeniable fact that the number of Christians that are not keeping the service at all has increased after COVID-19. This is not a trend that is observed because of COVID-19, but rather the Korean church has lost trust from the public for a while. Christians are not the subject of respect and trust, but they have been the subject of derision and criticism for a while now. In such reality, in year 2084, which marks two centuries of Korean Christianity, what will the church look like on this land? After 63 years, after two centuries of Korean Christianity, I'm afraid how the Thanksgiving worship service held by the future generation will look like. In order for us to be different from European churches, which remain mostly as physical structures due to their spiritual decline, and rather become a living church of Jesus Christ, there are things we must do. We must focus on Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, we have to focus on making a church be like a church. Just because you have one foot in a church does not mean that they are all spiritual church. High priests and teachers of the law were called children of evil and hypocrites, but they had already become whitewashed tombs. Judas the Iscariot, the icon of desires and betrayal, were also right by Jesus, but he chose his thoughts instead of focusing on Jesus Christ. Jesus spent his last Passover with his disciples. They still fought over which seat they would take and fell short and were immature, but disciples other than Judas focused on being with the Lord, being in the Lord, to become the body of the Lord, the church. The gospel was delivered to the ends of the earth through them. The Lord calls us to be his disciples. The Lord is with us, his disciples that he invited, and he wants to work with us. When each one of us focus on Jesus Christ, we will be the amorphous body of the church headed by Jesus Christ. As the amorphous body of Jesus, the church, the next generation will continue to be the church after us. Then, the second century of Korean Christianity, led by the next generation, will shine ever brightly as a church with the Lord, in the Lord, and by the Lord. I pray that this week will be filled with the grace to focus only on the Lord, so that the Lord that willingly became the Passover lamb does not regret calling us to be his disciples. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for sacrificing your blood as the Passover lamb for us sinners, and calling us to be your disciples through your grace. Touched by the abundant love of the Lord, we determine to live as disciples that fulfill the calling of the Lord, giving up on our thoughts. We are living in an era during which the church is heavily criticized, but as we focus on Jesus Christ, may the church be renewed and may life flow through the church. Just as Israelites annually keep Passover so that the next generation remembers what God has done for Israel, may we not be lazy to pass on what God has done for this land and what God has accomplished through this church. God, who calls us to be your disciples, grant us the power to refuse to become like high priests and religious leaders obsessed with outward appearances. May we not be like Judas Iscariot, who conceals his desires. As true Christians, may we walk on the path with the Lord. May we deliver our calling given to our church. Even if it is a path of suffering, may we joyfully walk on the path of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.